me. Generals gathered in their masses.
Get out of the way.
Just like witches at black masses.
Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way.
Evil minds that plot destruction.
Get out the way.
Sorcerer of death's construction.
Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way.
In the fields of bodies burning.
Get out the way.
As the war machine keeps
get
turning.
Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way.
Death and hatred to mankind. Brainwash minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Oh, no. The fight's out. I'm about to punch your lights out. Get the fuck back. Guard the grill. It's a wrong. We can't stay still. I've been drinking and busting too. And I've been thinking of busting you. I'm not your motherfucking forehead. And if your friends are bitch, tell me both days. I'm in confusion. Woo. Disturbing the peace. It's not an illusion. We running. Gold diggers, is there a bumper on your ass? No, nigga. I'm doing 100 on the highway. So if you do the speed limit, get the fuck out of my way. I'm DUI, hardly ever caught sober. And you about to get ran the fuck over.
Move, bitch, get out the way. Get out the way, bitch, get out the way. Move, bitch, get out the way. Get out the way, bitch, get out the way. Move, bitch, get out the way. Get out the way, bitch, get out the way. Get out the way.
Let's go.
Hey. Hey. Teach me how to play.
Hey. Hey.
Yo.
We're recording on that shit.
We are recording on this shit.
Nice. Welcome back, Derek.
Yes.
I missed you last week, dude.
Yeah. I found out when I got back that you had recorded an episode without me.
I'd warned you before.
You'd asked that it might happen. I was in Brandon, Manitoba after a hellish 12-hour drive. No, 15-hour drive there, 12-hour drive home.
Oh, yeah.
But it took us 2 days to get there. We had to stop in Swift Current because the roads were so terrible. It was nightmare drive.
Yeah, the Canadian winter has come.
It has, and that was, I started out the comedy winter season with a 15-hour drive and, like, not the worst road conditions I've ever driven in, but the longest I've ever driven in road conditions that bad, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've been in worse, but not for 15 hours.
Like, yeah.
It was 15 hours of pretty shitty road conditions. And
how'd the show go? Was it worth it?
Oh, man, like, the show's paid well, so I was glad I went, because it's helping pay for Christmas shopping and stuff, but it was all Christmas shows. And corporate, like, company shows. Half the people there don't like comedy, right? They're there because that's their company's Christmas party. They have to go.
Yeah.
So literally half the people in the audience are staring at their tables, and they're so not into it because they don't even like comedy, you know? Like, which I don't blame them. It's not everybody's cup of tea, right?
No, not at all. It's got to be hard shows, man. But I guess, I don't know, does that help your comedy, doing shows like that? Like bad rooms?
Yeah, because you learn how to, like, if you can get those people to pay attention, then you're kicking ass, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
Really good. But they were decent shows. Like, they weren't bad, but definitely worth going for.
Right on.
I don't know if I'd do it again in such bad weather, but... Well, thanks, yeah. And then I listened to half of the episode that you and Erickson did, and it was awesome.
Black Ops special, pretty much.
Not all Black Ops, but mostly.
Yeah, mostly. Man, if it was up to me, I'd still want to talk about Black Ops this whole podcast, too.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about it in relation to some of the other stuff we're talking about, because now it's a...
Man, did you know on the first day of sales, it broke records, not just in video game sales. It has been the biggest entertainment media of all time. It outsold Avatar, the Avatar the movie. It outsold that.
Well, it's way more profitable. And like each
well, yeah,
unit
I guess
is
it's
way
60
more profitable
bucks for one. But
and it costs.
But still,
like
when you think about it, that's amazing, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I don't know if it shows like how much the industry is still growing or.
Well, I think I think it clearly evidences that video games are the future of entertainment, and eventually what we understand as television will be mildly participatory. Like, you'll be in the scene. I think we'll have hologram rooms, like Star Trek, and that's how we'll watch our TV shows, where you kind of stand in the room of the scene as you watch it.
And you're participating. I don't participate,
but you'll at the very least be three-dimensionally within the scene. Yeah. I think. So, and video games are definitely going to help with the development of that technology. And so, but I think it does indicate, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but I think it does indicate that yes, video games are becoming the main form of entertainment in the world.
Yeah.
Which I'm stoked about. I love.
I think it's awesome. It's funny though. The other day I had some guy was talking to me and a buddy of mine, and found not too good. He's more like an associate, I guess, because he found out that I was really into video games. He's like, "Really, dude? You're really into video games? What the fuck? Are you some kind of nerd?" Yeah. He's like, "Really? That attitude still exists?
Isn't that weird?
That you think I'm a nerd because I'm playing video games?" Like, I couldn't believe it, dude. I was kind of shocked. I was like, wow, I haven't heard that in years, man.
Or they'll be like, what are you, like, you never grew out of being a kid? It's like, dude, the number one market for video gamers is like 21 to 35, right? Yeah, like, it's not even borderline kids. It's mostly adults playing video games.
Yeah.
Well, because we all grew up with it. Why? And we didn't stop.
Why would we stop? Yeah, you know?
Exactly. They're still making Pac-Mans. Pac-Man.
That new Pac-Man's awesome. Have you played it? That Pac-Man DX or whatever it is?
It's fun, but I feel like I need to be on mushrooms or something to play, because it's way too trippy, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
way too trippy. I'm past that point in my life to be playing.
That's the type of game that if it was in the arcades, you'd be blacking out to. Like, I remember Tumble Pop, when I was playing Tumble Pop at Laser Illusions one day, and it has that, like, super flashing light.
Yeah.
When you shoot out this, it was this game where you sucked in with a vacuum, you sucked in these monsters, and then you'd blow them out. And I was playing for so long that I blacked out. I was playing, and then I had 8 lives, and the next thing I knew, I woke up and I had 0 lives, and I looked over at my buddy Gavin, and he's talking to me, and I couldn't hear a word he said, and he's, you know, and I was like, I got to get out of here. And I turned around and had to walk out until my hearing had to come back. It was
Tumble
crazy.
Pop gave you a seizure.
Fucking Tumble Pop gave me a seizure.
You have a minor history of blacking out though.
Yeah, I do.
There's been a couple other times you've just passed out suddenly. We never had it. Why did that happen? I thought maybe you would have it like a week later you were going to die, because I was like, maybe that was the first time, but it never happened. You just...
Yeah, no, I survived. I made it past that point in my life. Never did find out why, but...
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
So anyways... Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Can
we
talk about that?
You got Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Yeah, I'm stoked on Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. The more I play the single player, the more I like it too.
You weren't too stoked at the start though.
Well, no, because it doesn't seem like there's much of a story at first. But the more I think about it, I don't know if many other Assassin's Creed games really had a big story. Basically, it's the story of Ezio after his involvement of the whole... It's more about Ezio than it is about the Templars and the long history with Desmond and all the stuff going back.
Yeah,
to
okay.
modern day.
Okay.
It's more just what happened with Ezio after Assassin's Creed 2.
So there's never a point where you're actually in the future and you're going back and looking back
no,
in
there
Ezio's
is.
Memories? Or?
You can exit the Animus at any time and walk around the Montessori, the town that they now occupy if you finished Assassin's Creed 2. I hope there's a, like, statute of limitations.
Spoiler, I never did
like
that!
Spoiler of a
oh my God.
Year and a half year old game. So
King
anyways,
Kong dies? What?
Exactly.
Ah!
So anyways, you can do the Desmond stuff, but so far it hasn't been very integral with the story. And the Apple of Eden is involved, but it's just, I lost the Apple of Eden and I'm trying to get it back. So it's kind of like, it's really more, and like a lot of the missions are totally unrelated to the overarching Assassin's Creed story, which is, I think, why they didn't call it Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't intend for this to be a sequel. What they wanted this to be, I think, as I've come to
It seems like
realize,
a New Vegas type of thing.
Well, New Vegas is a completely new story. Right.
I'm just saying that the hype,
you're right, though,
doesn't it didn't really wasn't really there, you know. Like,
well, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood outsold every previous Assassin's Creed in its first week, so
yeah, just more proof that the video game industry is growing, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But anyway, so I think their intention was, let's make an Assassin's Creed game that's going to have a story. I don't mean to say it doesn't have a story and it's not tied into the Assassin's Creed arc. It is absolutely canon, or whatever you want to call it. It is absolutely tied in with that, but it seems more like a Grand Theft Auto or a Crackdown, where it's more just about completing everything this time.
These missions in this big open world.
Yeah, going through the open world. Oh, I'm going to do that mission now. Oh, I'm going to go collect that treasure. Oh, okay, I'm going to do this mission now. Oh, and I'm recruiting assassins.
Doesn't that get boring, though?
A little bit.
Because that's kind of find what I found about the first two games is that, you know, you have your, you go into a town and, okay, now my first objective is to go and get to this lookout point. And then I look up in this lookout point and it opens up a bunch of missions.
Yeah.
But yet all these missions are the exact same type of missions I was just fucking doing.
Right. They've thrown in a little bit more variety. For example, there's four vehicle missions this time around. Leonardo da Vinci has made these vehicles that you have to find and destroy, and you end up driving them all by the end. So there's a flying mission, there's a tank mission, there's a like race car mission and stuff like that, right? So that's okay. New. There's, and they threw in some other things, but yes, it is a lot of the same of Assassin's Creed 2. The first 5 hours of playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, I'm like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
This is Assassin's Creed 2, but it was supposed to be a DLC because it's only one city, too. That's another thing to mention.
Ooh, really?
Only one map for the whole game. I'm pretty sure. I've been playing it for a long time, and I still haven't left Rome. It's huge, right? But it looks like it was a DLC that they turned into a full-fledged game by just adding tons of this extra missions and content, like the recruitment system, which I have to tell you about. So instead of just having lookout points now, they have these things called Borgia Towers, which are towers that are controlled by the main bad guys in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just climbing and synchronizing, you've got to take over and destroy these towers. So you've got to first kill a guy, kill the captain of the base, and then you've got to climb all the way to the top of the tower and blow it up, not just look at it.
Look at it.
Then you get that viewpoint.
Okay.
Where before, you would have just had to climb and synchronize.
You get a viewpoint after you blow up a tower?
Yeah, you blow up the tower and you get the synchronized viewpoint at the same time because you were standing on top of the tower.
Wait, does this tower exist anymore?
Yeah, it's just burning. You don't blow it up, it just light it on fire.
Gotcha.
So anyways, for every one of those that you take over, you can recruit one assassin, which you'll just be walking around and you'll see a citizen being assaulted by guards. You kill all the guards and the citizen goes, "My life is now yours, you know, what can I do to help the cause?" And he now becomes your assassin. And then you can take those assassins and you can go and you manage them with these pigeon coops.
Sending them letters.
Yeah. Right? And you send them off to other places in the world, like Paris and Greece and like a whole bunch of different places all around the world on assassination missions. And depending on how hard the mission is relative to their level, they have a certain percentage of completing it. And they'll either die or they'll gain experience and go up in level. And the goal is to get 10... level 10 assassins, so all of your assassins are completely leveled up.
Okay.
Then you can call them in to help you if they're not out on a mission somewhere. Missions take between 5 and 15 minutes for them to complete. If they're not on a mission...
They're fast motherfuckers, man.
Yeah, they're fast. They get to Paris and back in like 15 minutes. But if they're there, then you can use them in battle. You can like call them in to help you and you get special powers. If you've got 3 assassins, then you can call in a hail of arrows and they kill like any group of guys. And like you don't.
That's only after level 10? They get to level 10? Or no, that's any time?
That's as soon as you have 6 assassins that aren't out on contract somewhere. Then you can do the hail of arrows.
Okay.
So anyways, I don't want to talk about it for too long because it's not super interesting, but it's this weird thing that they added that made it way more fun because now I'm not only managing myself and trying to clean up Rome and do all this stuff and rebuild, you can take over buildings and stuff too,
yeah.
But I'm now also managing a group of assassins and I have 10 of them and I'm, you know, leveling them up, and the more towers I take over, the more assassins I can start training and the more superpowers I start getting based on how many assassins I can just call in at any time.
That sounds pretty crazy, man, but yeah, I don't know if it's still enough to make me want to go out and get Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, no, if you didn't like Assassin's Creed 2, if you didn't finish it, don't even think about picking this up because it's more of the same for sure. But multiplayer...
The multiplayer I saw you play for 10 or 15 minutes before we came in here, and that looked actually pretty cool, man.
It's a very interesting... Like, the concept of each of the games, if you haven't seen it, is that... You've got 10 people on the map. Let's say each person is hunting a different person. So you're hunting somebody while somebody's hunting you. And all of the NPCs on the map look like you, and you got to be really stealth and kind of pretend you're an NPC until you get right next to the person you're hunting and kill them. But then at any moment, somebody could kill you as well because you're being hunted as well. So.
Yeah, it was pretty tense. Like, just walking around, it's like, oh shit, is that him? Oh my god. No, that's him over there. Yeah, guaranteed.
Because in the particular game we were playing there... In the full-on deathmatch, you don't know what the guy hunting you looks like.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, so the team deathmatch that we were...
But in the team one that we were playing, you do know what the person hunting you looks like. So all of a sudden, when that one guy was disguised, because one of the superpowers is to disguise yourself to look like somebody else, that guy just jumped out and killed me. And we were both like, nowhere. Whoa. But yeah, when you know the bald guys are hunting you, every single bald guy you see, you're like, what the fuck? Is that him? Is that him? And you're like trying to watch the bald guy while you're trying to hunt the guy you're hunting. It's an interesting game.
And it had a very Call of Duty like leveling system.
Yeah, the leveling system and the perk system. Not only do they have
kill perks, streak kill rewards, streaks.
They have death streak rewards.
Which was pretty cool.
If you die three times, you can pick your bonus, and that's cool too. And
not only if you die three times, if you lose your target three times.
Yeah, like if you lose an interaction, that's correct. Yeah, because if somebody tries to attack you, if you see somebody and notice that it's them, and you get away, that's almost as many points as getting a kill yourself. So it's considered like
a win. And you get different points depending on how you kill guys and
yeah.
and stuff like that.
And how effectively you escape.
Like I'm just kind of wondering, even with all the depth they've added to the multiplayer, I'm just wondering if it would get kind of boring after a while, though. Like, the thought of it was cool, you know, like walking around and being on edge, waiting to see if that's the guy. You know, you're walking up next to a guy and shit, he might just stab you at any second. Just kind of wondering if that might wear off after a while, though.
There seems to be quite a bit of perks and weapons to unlock and stuff, though. So I think those high-level matches will be really interesting as all these different people have. Some guys have smoke bombs. Some guys have disguise. Some guys have sprint. You know, some guys have...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what all those other powers are. You can't see what they are until you get them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Anyways, enough about Assassin's Creed. I'm happy with it. I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan.
Yeah, you love the stories, though.
I love the stories, but I also like the gameplay, and this one definitely came through. I'm waiting to see if the story pans out. There might be...
Maybe.
I thought I was almost done, and then I looked at the achievements, and I'm not even halfway. So I got a lot more to go still.
Nice. My girlfriend picked up DK Country, Donkey Kong Country Returns the other day, and me and her are going to play it through. And it's crazy how much it's just... Super Mario Bros. With Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong.
Yeah.
Like the maps are, you know, the way you navigate through your map is the exact same. And, you know, you go from the jungle world to the beach world.
But the thing that was very distinct about Donkey Kong Country would have been, I would say, the rolling and the throwing of barrels and stuff. And did they keep that feel?
They kept it, but because of the Wii motion controls, it's the rolling definitely is a pain in the ass. Because when I, you know, to shake your Wii remote, you know, you can smash on the ground and you got to shake the Wii remote to do that. I always shake with my right hand. It's just quicker. But to roll, you have to hold down on the D-pad and shake your controller. So I'm trying to kind of getting used to shaking my Wii remote with my left hand instead of my right. Yeah, I don't know. It's so I don't use roll that much, and it's not the same DK Country that it was in what was it, NES or Super NES?
Super NES, yeah.
Yeah, that game was hard as hell.
And this one's not?
It's hard. It's difficult. There's a challenge to it, but I'm going to get through it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that we're going to finish the game.
How many worlds in are you?
Three.
And it starts getting hard around four or five.
Yeah, it is starting to get harder. It is starting to amp up a bit.
Yeah, the first
you can
definitely
see. There's a lot of exploration, like finding puzzle pieces throughout the levels and shit. And the one awesome thing about it, which bugged the shit out of me with the last Super Mario Bros. With their multiplayer, is that you can't affect the other your teammate. You can't jump on them and fucking kill them.
Yeah.
Like you can in Super Mario Bros., which seriously, all that did was start arguments.
Yeah,
man.
I'm pretty sure it might have broken up some marriages. We were not sure.
But... Oh my God, it was frustrating to play with anybody, really.
Yeah.
And just any soon as you died, it was like, you fucking asshole. Like, yeah. Why'd you do that? You killed me. It's like, I didn't mean to kill you.
Yeah,
it just happened that way.
Yeah, Kelsey and I didn't have that problem. Kelsey and I played together incredibly well. Like, we honestly went through the whole game and we got every single star. So we got all 120 stars, even like every star, special star level.
Nice.
And like, honestly, we worked really well together. It was one of the things, like early on, I was like, yeah, I think I might be with this girl for a while. She's a great Mario player. Like, can't believe how effectively we're working together in this Mario
this
game.
This is a great sign to this relationship.
Yes, I think I love this girl. I don't know. Well, I always said I would marry the girl that could beat me at Mortal Kombat, so we'll
have
see.
Have you played Mortal Kombat
No,
we've yet.
Never played, but there's a new one coming out within the next year, so.
Dude, who's got mail?
Sorry.
Who keeps getting mail?
I know, I need to shut down my email clients.
So do you know much about this North and South Korea situation?
Yeah, well, I've been reading the news, and there was some new information that came out today that was really interesting, so I'm good about that. But basically, North Korea is a fucking dick, if you're going to put them as people. Like, if you're going to call North Korea a person. But yeah, no, they're extremely antagonistic, and I think the South Korea was doing military exercises and they got bombed.
Well, I heard South Korea fired first, and then I heard no, it was North Korea.
South Korea would never fire first.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
Not
that.
In their history of their entire fucking thing would they ever attack North Korea. They are entirely always like, holy shit, can you please just
leave this out? Chill the fuck out, man. Fuck which I don't out. Get, dude. Yeah. Why don't they just chill the fuck out?
Well, yeah, because they live in this little bubble, and and they've got China on their, they've got China at their back. China's got their back, and China's a serious force, right? And so China has always traditionally supported North Korea, so they got this big fucking attitude, right? They think they can do anything.
Is it all just about resources, or why do you want to fuck with other people? Like, why can't you just live where you were born and, I'm not saying you can't move or anything, but live where you're living and just be cool. I don't get the whole war mentality, and especially Koreans, dude. It's like a civil war.
Well,
it's a civil fucking war,
man.
They
were Koreans at one point.
They're all Koreans. They're all Koreans. Like, that's what I don't get. It's like the United States Civil War, man. This is 2010.
Well, I don't know if it comes down to the basic fight between capitalism and communism that's been going on for fucking ever, since as long as we've had it, right? I don't know if that's what it is. I really don't understand the situation enough to comment. All I know is, from my super North America media influenced brain, North Korea is extremely unrealistic and unreasonable and just like really just wants to cause a bunch of shit and make a big stir about things. And it's really.
And oppress its own people, apparently.
Yeah.
Have you seen like a picture of like Korea at nighttime and how the South is super lit? And then as soon as you go up the North, it's like pitch black.
Yeah. Well, they're StarCraft playing people, right? They got to play their StarCraft at night. Gamers play at night. So. But anyways, the interesting thing that came out today is that all this WikiLeaks shit, I'm sure you've heard about that too, right?
No, I've been busy today.
Oh, it's been going on for a couple of days. There's like the biggest release of confidential information ever in the history of mankind happened in the past 3 days. Every single...
That guy's going to end up dead in the next couple of years, man, next year.
Next couple of weeks, I think. Every single... communication between the U.S. embassy, the U.S. government and their embassies and all of the other embassies of every other country around the world since 1966. Every single communication
really
was released on WikiLeaks. You can go browse it. You can go read what Hillary Clinton wrote to some other ambassador in Turkey last week. You can go read that. It's on WikiLeaks.org right now. And part of that was a whole bunch of communications about how China is really fed up with North Korea and is really close to not backing them anymore and saying, no, you're spoiled children. You're acting out. We're tired of putting up with your unreasonable shit, right? So I think North Korea is about to get its fucking ass kicked. I think it's really close. So as much as I do understand the problems of capitalism and consumerism and that whole lifestyle, a nation that keeps its people suppressed from information, keeps the internet out of there, controls all of their media, makes sure they only see what Kim Jong-il wants them to see.
I was going to say, you're talking about North Korea now or China?
North Korea. China's got its problems too, but at least Chinese people can get on the internet, right? North Korea is literally shut. It's like 50 years behind the rest of the world. Like they
but
don't
its people
have,
still love
Well, because
Kim
they
Jong-il.
Have no... Their entire conception of the world is formed by what this man allows them to see.
I saw a documentary the other week about North Korea, and a guy snuck in there with some cameras and shit. I can't remember how exactly he got in there, but they were holding they were doing operations for blind North Koreans, and kind of repairing their sight and giving them their sight back. And this doctor that developed this new technique helped a lot of them. And the first thing they do when they can see is go up to a picture of Kim Jong-il and thank him for letting them see again. It was wow. Amazing, dude. I could not believe it. Like, how does one get to that point?
Yeah, I mean, and that's why, to me, it looks to me like pure evil. Like, I think it's just, if you're going to say what evil is, that's what it is. Keeping freedom from people, keeping information from people, you know, and that's, that to me is horrible. It's, it, you know, it's one of the worst things you can do to somebody is form their view of the world. And of course, my North American media does it to me. I know I'm not completely free of it, but at least I can get on the internet and read Al Jazeera news if I'm so inclined. North American media is great at making its people not so inclined, but at least I have that option. It's my fault if I don't do it. It's not my government completely restricting what information I'm allowed to see.
What's so wrong with like a one world government, you think? Like, what's so wrong with the idea of us being one? Like, whenever you think about alien races, you ever think about like just a certain sect of an alien race that comes and they you always think of alien races of being unified and they're for some reason always superior to us.
Yeah.
So why isn't that just the logical next step in our evolution?
Well, I think because there, I to quote a whole an old cliche is absolute power corrupts absolutely.
So instead of having one huge corrupt body, it's better to have like 100, 200 little corrupt bodies.
Well, I think the idea is that the larger the government gets, the more it's capable of becoming corrupt. If everybody just paid attention to their local politics, which is really what matters in their lives.
Well, it's funny when that's the when we do think about voting, we always think about, you know, voting for the prime minister or the president.
Yeah.
And that's who we're going to vote for in terms of our local representative, of like which team he's on.
Yeah,
it's really, like he could be the biggest douchebag around.
Yeah,
but
like the local representative is the one that's actually going to affect your life, but no one cares.
No one cares.
Yeah, which is so weird, right? Yeah, you're right. They only focus on the candidate or the party, and it's like, why don't you read what your local candidate is actually saying they're going to do? Which is what I do every
and
single
local
election.
Like local elections, like mayoral elections and stuff like that, are always the lowest turnout, voter turnout.
I mean, when I elect, every time I have voted conservative, I voted liberal, I have voted for green 1 year. You know, every single year I have voted based on what which local candidate I thought was the best choice, and I did not give a shit about party or prime minister. That barely affects your life.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Yeah, that's the North Korea situation.
That's the North Korea situation.
That's what we know about it.
Well, I knew even less than that a couple minutes ago. So, I know it's hard to say, but like I don't. It's just ridiculous. I don't want to cloud my mind with stupid shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, why am I worried about it? I know I should, because it could cause like a big war. But am I going to prevent it by worrying about it? It's nothing I'm really going to do unless I'm an activist type, which I'm not.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think being informed is good, but don't get too concerned. Always keep that ground in life that really it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And the important things are your family and your friends and being happy, right?
Well, to most people, I guess to others, it's just to cause shit. Create misery is apparently what others' agenda is.
That's what some people want. Well, they're delusional people, right?
I know tons of dramaholics, man. Like people are just addicted to drama.
Listen, I don't want it's drama to even talk about it. I don't even want to talk about them.
Well, what else do you want to talk about, man?
December, there's no games.
Yeah. That might be a good thing, though, because yeah, what I wanted to mention like a couple podcasts ago was how there's just too many games coming out.
Yeah.
There's no way of playing them all.
November's always been traditionally stronger, but, man, December, literally, Mario All-Stars and Tron Evolution. That's it. And I don't even Tron Evolution, I have no
idea
what
the
looking at.
Wonder what the reasoning is behind that. You think they're just trying to pump their actual consoles instead, like pump Kinect out and out Move? And
well, it's also because you want to get your game out in November, because most people are going to buy their Christmas gifts between November 15th and December 15th.
Yeah, it could be true.
You don't want to be releasing your game too much. You want a good hype to get going for your game before Christmas.
I guess who's releasing games the week of December 25th?
Yeah, that would be retarded. But anyways, yeah, so we got Mario All-Stars, which is Mario 1, 2, and I mean, like, it's the same game that came out on Super Nintendo 9 years ago.
Yeah, that's the thing. I have the feeling with, like, DK Country, it's a fun game, and yeah, it's cool that I'm playing it, but it's nothing new at all. it's a Mario clone.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's all Mario All-Stars. I mean, I'm not too psyched about that either. Some of the about Nintendo games, man. Why can't anyone else make a Nintendo game? You know what I mean? Like, have that, capture that feel, that Miyamoto-ness. You know what I mean? Like, there's something about Nintendo games that you, as soon as it's on the screen, you know it's a Nintendo game.
Even Nintendo games sometimes don't have that feel anymore.
Yeah, I know.
When Miyamoto gives up certain amounts of control, all of a sudden it's like, this is a Mario game? Like, can we say soccer? What was that? Mario Strikers? Perfect Strikers? Example.
That's a fun play in that. Me and Jared, that's a fun play in that for a bit. Yeah, it was lame. There's no way it was an actual stand-up game.
Mario Baseball. I mean, like, they were okay, but they just didn't have that Miyamoto genius to them.
No.
Obviously packaged, like, products that were taking advantage of the IP, but did not put the...
I'm kind of bummed I got DK Country over Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Really, eh?
Yeah, I should have got Kirby's Epic Yarn, I think. Would have been a better buy.
Yeah. Gran Turismo 5 would have been a good buy too.
Oh man, yeah, that's the one big game that neither one of us will be playing for at least a while.
I've put it on my Christmas list, and now I can't fucking get it.
I don't see how I can't not get this game. You know, everything about it. I was huge in the first Gran Turismo that came out. Holy crap! I played the shit out of that.
Yeah,
like so many hours into that game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know much about it, although...
They redid a lot of the maps, a lot of the same maps.
I played the demo or something. There was something I played on my PS3. I remember playing a demo, and I was like, these graphics aren't that great. Like, I really
everything
didn't
I've
so.
Seen about it looks amazing.
The car models were fantastic, but the track and stuff was like, it was just like a green sheet.
I gotta hunt down somebody that has a 3D TV.
Yeah.
And play that shit in 3D. Because I bet you that'd be cool. You can even use the PlayStation Eye. You could hook that up.
Really?
So it's mimics your head movements when you look out. It looks out the window.
Wow.
Yeah.
But if your TV's not moving, how is that good? I don't...
Good point, Derek. I didn't...
You're going to, like, look and then look up the side of your eye?
Looking like, oh, shit, where am I going? I don't know, dude. Does that only work in 3D mode or what?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
but even
glasses
that...
to go with it, some kind of projector, some kind of headset.
I don't know. Maybe I should look more into that before I start talking about it and saying how awesome it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't know why you'd want your head turning to be coming to effect. It would probably be. But, you know, slight turns would be interesting.
Cool.
Maybe just tiny little turns would be like looking out your window and stuff, and that would actually be really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I might get a PlayStation Eye if that's the case. I've been waiting for a reason to get that thing because I want to play the Magic the Gathering type game on it.
What? What is this? Magic? What? Whoa.
There's a whole Magic the Gathering type game where the cards sit and like the monsters like they it shows like a video of your cards and then the monsters actually rise out of the cards like that are.
Oh man, we got to get that.
But apparently it's really lame. It's
why is even why is Magic known as
I have judgment. That's what it's called.
I have judgment.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, we got to check that out, man.
Yeah.
You notice how Magic even in the gamer community is kind of looked at as like a geek sort of thing.
I know, you never want to mention
so that. Many gamers make fun of me for playing Magic, and I don't get it.
Oh, you play Hearts? You play Hearts all that? Oh, Go Fish? You play that? Oh, that's okay. Oh, you play Magic? Oh, that's so lame. Like a card game that actually has skill involved and not just random picking cards and seeing who got the best cards. It's like all those card games are retarded, like except for poker. Poker's a good one, but all those other, like Hearts and Solitaire and Go Fish, it's fucking retarded games. And then you got Magic, which has actually got like an intelligent component to it.
There was a guy on the Pure Outage set, Prop Master Ray. He used to make fun of me and Jared all the time because he's on my friends list, and so every time we'd go home from filming at night, and me and Jared would play Magic together.
Yeah,
and he would go home and play. I think at the time he was playing Halo or something, and he'd see us online. So the next day he'd come and he'd be like, lightning bolt, sleep. Sleep. And he totally like make fun of us, and I was like, whatever, dude, don't knock it till you try it. It's amazing. I have so much fun playing Magic. Every time a new game. DLC comes out, I'm so stoked.
Well, that you're talking about the you never even played the card version, eh?
The card version. I didn't get into it like you guys did.
Well, we barely played it, really.
Yeah.
I think the reason it has such a nerd perception is because some people do take it really seriously, like any other people take their shit. But comic book nerds read their comic books, right? Video game nerds read their video games by themselves. Magic nerds got to get in public and have it out on a table somewhere. So they're very visible to the public.
Yeah.
Whereas other type of nerds aren't quite as. So now they think that anybody that plays Magic is that kind of the guy that actually goes out and is in public playing it, which honestly, I've never played it in public. Like,
no, it's always been at friend's house or...
Yeah, exactly.
It's never at a comic book store.
Yeah.
Never gone to
that. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, fine, they just, I guess that, they just lumped them in with like the whole Dungeons and Dragons gang.
Cool. Yeah.
Which I always wanted to get to, admittedly, back in the day, but I just never found anybody else that wanted to.
Yeah, my buddy Cam Pipes, well, not my buddy, but a guy I grew up with, he's now like the lead singer of 3 Inches of Blood.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
He plays D&D to fucking death. Like, he actually
still
has, yeah, still, like, I see he posts pictures on Facebook and stuff, and he's got like the little figurines, and they act it all out on big maps, and they draw out their maps and create nice. Them. And
see, if you had a good dungeon master, man, I bet you it'd be pretty cool.
Oh man, probably the best game you can play.
Yeah,
but like
they just released like a starter set, this like Dungeons and Dragons like box set kind of thing for, you know, anyone can play, and it won't take like super long like the old days. I can't remember what it's called, but it's just like red box that I seen.
Yeah, I've been reading in Penny Arcade, they do a funny little thing where they talk about how each player that starts playing Dungeons and Dragons inevitably will hate the next version and love their version.
Yeah, yeah,
right, because Gabe in the cartoon started playing in his adult form, and Tycho started playing when he was a kid, and Tycho was like, these new ones are lame. And then when the new one came out that you're talking about, Gabe was like, oh, that's lame. And Tycho goes, now you understand. He's like, so it was a pretty good little arc that they did there about D&D.
Nice.
All right, we got to get going. I got a show tonight for the Movember. I'm doing a Movember show at Yuck Yucks. Finally get to shave.
Yeah,
this
I meant
thing
to mention that
face.
Before. Oh. You got to get that thing off your face, dude. I
hate this
you
mustache.
You look so funny. Not that so you look disgusting. Funny, but most people look funny in a mustache. You just automatically look like a pedophile.
Yeah, I look like a pedophile, but I've been told this. Here, the way I'll put these on.
Derek is switching up his glasses.
Give this me. Is the best compliment I've gotten so far is that I look like Flanders.
Dude, you do. You look so much like him.
I said it on stage last night. I was like, best thing anybody says is that I look like Flanders. The whole place erupted. They were like,
Flanders,
whoa.
You're so dead Flanders right now.
Yeah, crazy, eh? With my bold glasses.
That's awesome. Why isn't that your profile pic?
Because I hate it. I hate this mustache. If I didn't have people donate, I would have shaved it so long ago, but... Tonight's the last night. Got the Movember show to do, and then that's it.
Right on, and we're going to be doing some filming this weekend, aren't we?
I hope so. I've got shows Friday. I don't think this weekend, because I've got show Friday. I'll be driving back Saturday. I'm not going to be getting back
oh, yeah.
Saturday.
You're doing this going to hell's?
Going to hell on Sunday. We got a big thing going on with the Flames game and a lingerie show before the show on Sunday, and anybody that comes to the Flames game and lingerie show gets into the
nice.
Comedy show for free. So...
That's cool.
Yeah. So come on down, watch some hockey, look at some girls in lingerie, and then watch comedy if you're in Calgary. Balance Lounge Sunday.
Can't get much better than that.
Yep.
Right on, dude. All right. Yeah, I'm going to go home, get some food. I'm starving.
All right.
Oh, yeah, things going. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, let's get out of here. Music this week was Girl Talk, man. Have you heard much Girl Talk?
Girl Talk? No.
It's just these guys that do these mashups. And you know what a mashup is?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just like an hour long of mashups. But they do really good shit, man. Like, a lot of it's really cool. So, yeah, they just released a new one.
Cool.
Last week, I think it was. So I thought I'd throw them on. It's what I've been listening to this week, so.
Nice. I look forward to hearing it.
Yeah. We'll catch everybody next week. Yeah. Thanks for listening, bitches. My shining wristband and big ass words I rotate.